Good morning, everybody. Isn't it a beautiful morning? Yes. Dennis sowed a seed in me this morning when we first arrived. I made a comment about, isn't it a beautiful morning? So I started singing, oh, what a beautiful morning, which we're not going to sing this morning, by the way. Welcome to our service, and to those of you who are watching online, welcome also. Just to start, and before we sing, we're going to sing an old familiar song, and I'd just like us to spend a moment reflecting on what's going on inside of us. So close your eyes for a minute. And the first verse of this song in part goes, let him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. And there is no other place where we will find satisfaction than deep within, in the presence of Jesus. And then even further, let him have the things that hold you. And if we're truthful with our God and with ourselves, there's things from time to time that we hold on to that we'd rather let go of. It's the dilemma of Paul. I do the things that I don't want to do, and the things I want to do, I don't. But despite that, we have a God who forgives and forgives and forgives and fills us with his presence. So let's stand together and sing.
His love.
Let's pray. Father, we praise you that we can sing those words together, that we can give you the things that hold us. We can hold out before you any pain that we might be going through for whatever reason. We praise you that we can simply surrender to you our lives and every part of our lives, the good and the not so good. And we praise you that through your cross, Jesus, you have enabled us to come to you whole, complete, forgiven and clean. And so, Lord, this morning we give you praise and thanks for all that you're doing and offer you these prayers. Our Abba Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen. Response oral psalm again this morning. It's some verses extracted from Psalm 51, which is the psalm that David composed after his act of adultery with Bathsheba. It's a penitential psalm and a good psalm to pray anytime, really. But there is something really staggering, for me at least, in the psalm where David says, "Wash me with hyssop until I am clean and whiter than snow." Isaiah alludes to sins being scarlet. Though they are scarlet, they will be white as snow. And there is a sense in Christ for us that we are pure and whole and clean, which I find staggering because I know that's not always the case. This side would follow me in the first part, and this side would follow Fiona with the bits in bold. You are kind, God. Please have pity on me. You are always merciful. Please wipe away my sins.
Wash me clean from all my sin and guilt.
But you want complete honesty, so teach me true wisdom.
Wash me with hyssop until I am clean and whiter than snow.
Let me be happy and joyful. You crushed my bones, now let them celebrate.
Create pure thoughts in me and make me faithful again.
Don't chase me from you or take your Holy Spirit away from me.
Make me as happy as you did when you saved me. Make me want to obey.
And altogether,
you have washed us, Lord, and cleansed us.
We are whiter than snow.
Open our lips, Lord Jesus, so that we may always declare your praise.
This morning's reading is from John chapter 12, verse 20 to 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour." And Jesus speaks about his death. "Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you here again. Time for our children's talk this morning, and we're not doing any Dave's dodgy drawing, so you're going to have to come. We're going to do something else instead. So come, if you'd like to come down the front, you guys. And now, occasionally, I inflict my drawings upon Prince Alfred College. And I did last week, but I have to call it something different. I call it Reverend Dave's Dynamic Drawings. But you guys get the more truthful version. Dave's dodgy drawing is exactly what it is. So you're very fortunate. You get the truth, people. Hey, I thought I'd start by talking about friends. If I'm going to talk about friends, who can describe what a friend is? Who's got a friend? Put your hand up. Yeah, okay. What makes a friend, Sam?
Well, it's someone that you have made, like, friends with, and, like, you have, like...
a connection, or they just, yeah. Like, you just
like
hang out?
Like, a connection.
That's a big word. What would you say? Normally, it's, like, just hang out or be together.
I would say it would be like a connection.
So it is. Like goodness. All right. That's good. Nice word. Did you want to talk about what is a friend for you? What does a friend look like? Do they take all your lunch? Do you share your lunch? What do you do? What do friends do?
They be nice and they play together and they don't be rude.
They're nice, play together and they don't be rude. That's a nice definition of a friend.
They're friendly.
Friendly. Friends are friendly. Thank you for that really insightful look. All right, what about you?
They're kind.
Kind. What about friends? What do you have a friend? Do you share dollies or what do you do? lots of hugs and dances and fun, and yeah, friends are great. Who has got a friend here? Who has got a friend? Who hasn't got a friend? No, you've got a, who wants a friend? I'm just checking. Hey, look, so friendship is really an important thing, and we've been talking about following Jesus. Now, one of the things we also remember is that Jesus talked about being our friend. So when we think about what a friend is, and then we think about what Jesus says he is to us as well, Jesus is kind, caring, not rude to us. I mean, friends are with us, aren't they? So it's like, that's a really powerful part of how we think about Jesus too. It's not just Jesus all up here, everywhere, but Jesus is our friend. Now, it's funny how my brain works, because at different times in the night I wake up and this tune came to my brain. It was something I sang years and years and years and years ago when we had a kids' club at Enfield Uniting. So that's in the 90s. 1990, that's how old I am. So I'm going to get you guys to learn this. All right. If I had Rob Fudge here, we'd be doing a bit of a rap thing. It goes like this. Jesus is my friend to the very end. When we feel the pain and we feel the strain, Jesus is our friend to the very end. Ooh, ah, ooh, 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 ah. Now that's not hard, is it? Hey, is that a bad one? All right. I'm going to give you guys, why don't you stand together? You can be my backing group. All right, come on, stand up. Stand up together. And I'm going to say a line and you're going to sing it. Come on, Dave, stand in the middle. Come on, I need some leadership here. Just someone hold that leg. All right, so I'm going to say a line and you repeat it. Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is my friend.
Till the very end.
Till the very end.
When we feel the pain.
When we feel the pain.
And we feel the strain.
And we feel the strain.
Jesus is our friend.
Jesus is our friend.
Till the very end. All right, let's try that together. We're going to all do it together. So help me out, people. You online too, get cracking. Come on, I want to hear some rap version. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Jesus is my friend to the very end. When we feel the pain and we feel the pain, Jesus is our friend to the very end. Ooh, 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 ah. I think you've got that part damn well. All right. Now, I'm not sure that will feature anywhere else apart from here, but let me share a prayer with you. Thank you for joining in. Lord Jesus, we remember that you are our friend. And as we go and bless the young children as they go out to their Sunday school time, we ask a special insight and an affirmation of their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining in that very bad rap. All right, so some notices. Next week is Palm Sunday. And so be prepared to probably wear some glasses. There will be lots of palms being waved around everywhere. O-H-N-S. So Reverend Ian Kitto will be here next week preaching, because next week my son will be getting married on the Saturday. So Mike and Amelia, after a year of, as we know, hanging around waiting, they're finally getting married, which is sensational. And the reception will go long into the night. And so I really, you know, never good to see your minister falling asleep during his sermon. So Ian's happily stepped in, so that'll be great next week. Now, one other thing I was going to say. David, yeah, you were gonna thanks, mate.
That one other thing.
Yes.
Now, I hate to tell you this, but your rap is now on the internet forever. Just thought I'd mention
Dave's
that.
Dodgy rap.
This is me with my worship coordinator's hat on. Firstly, I think I've mentioned before, for those of you who responded to my recent emails, thank you. You know, have given us some feedback on worship and what we've been doing online and so on. And you know, the bottom line is that there is generally an overall feeling of positiveness. And that what we're doing is worth continuing with. So thank you for those of you who did that. We're about to enter the realm of a new worship roster. And firstly, let me thank Fiona, who's taken on the preparation of that. And over the next term, because we work from term to term, we're going to have some new faces that are going to be leading worship, including Rob Fudge, Trevor Haley, Adrian down the front here. Fiona's going to do a little bit from time to time, and I'll still be doing some stuff too. And I'm really quite pleased about that, because that spreads the load across who needs to take responsibility and plan for services whilst liaising with David and bring them all together. So that's really good. There's one need in relation to this forthcoming roster. There's a couple of needs. We always need more singers and musicians, so I'm still on the lookout for a keyboard player. Any of you play the keyboard? But readers, if you would like to read scripture from time to time, as Chris did this morning, or lead intercessions, as there's a bit of a rotation that happens there. If you would feel you would like to have a go at one of those things, although if you're a bit unsure about standing in front of this microphone and reading and so on, we can teach you how to do that. But if you would like to participate, or you think you might, could you please talk to Fiona after the service? Because the roster is... Sorry? Ah, Dennis is just saying, yeah, we need some more people on the back desk as well, and for the camera. So right across the board of the things we do, the technical side, the musical side, I won't say the preaching side, that's pretty good. Apart from the dodgy drawings. did I cover it all? So have a think about it, and we'd love you to contribute to what we're doing and will continue to do. Okay. Last week, I think, around about this time, I prayed for the offering, and I said it's a really strange thing, because I'm doing now what I never wanted to do, and that is to present an offering by electronic funds transfer. Because part of me says, you know, if we're making an offering to God, you need to come and put it somewhere, or put it on the altar or the table. But we haven't been able to do that, of course. But we still need to pray for our offerings and the use of our funds. So before we sing our next hymn, I'm going to pray for our offerings. Father, we thank you again that you are a giving God, that you have given to each of us in abundance, and more than anything, you've given us your Son, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be a giving people, not just financially. And that, of course, helps. It would help us to give with our lives and give with the way we love people, give with the way we care, give with the way we forgive, give with the way we trust. And so we pray, Lord, for our finances, the offerings that are coming to the church still, and pray that you would help us to use them wisely and to your glory. And we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing. You remain seated for this next. It's a hymn, in fact. One of my favorite Easter hymns, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And normally we don't sing it until Good Friday. But I think in light of, in part, David's message today, which is Jesus understands our pain, this hymn reflects Jesus' pain and what we have in him. So let's sing together.
Thank you. Welcome to that time in worship where we have the prayers of intercession. And it's such an important thing because this gives us an opportunity to pray for other people. So let us all pray. Heavenly Father, you are the creator of the world, a world that is such a beautiful place, a diverse planet that is rich and varied in its flora and its fauna and its people. A world that should be nurtured and cared for. And yet, Lord, we see and hear of so many things that sadden us, from war and killing and misuse of great resources, and always this man's inhumanity to man. But we know that you are the preserver of people everywhere, the one in which all our hopes are founded. And so this morning we pray for people of every race and in every kind of need. Please make your ways known and your saving power amongst all of the nations on earth. We pray for those areas where they are enduring great episodes of drought or, very pertinently, Lord, flood. We pray that they can be brought through this time of trial and restored to health and well-being. This morning, Lord, we pray for your church throughout the world. Guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit so that all who profess to call themselves Christians may be led in the way of truth and hold unto their faith in the unity of the Spirit and bound by the bonds of peace and the righteousness of life. Help us to be strong in the defense of our faith. And this includes even those countries where Christianity is seen to be the dominant religion, but where Christians find themselves under threat. We commend this morning to your fatherly goodness all who are anxious or distressed in mind and body. In this we include the sad and the lonely. Lord, give them patience and forbearing in their suffering and bring them out of their trouble. Lord, we bring before you people throughout the world who are without adequate means of support. They can't support themselves or their families and whose hold on life is fragile. And this we include the victims of the growing plagues of homelessness. Most people are victims of circumstances and need support to survive. And so we give thanks that for the majority of us who are, our financial status is not as perilous as this, and we feel secure. We ask that those of us who are secure can be mindful of the needs of others and direct our lives by what we need and not what we desire. In the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, in this way we can truly help. We can be sure that as we live by our Christian principles, we can lay up treasure in heaven and have a closer walk with you. Lord, when someone dies, we can feel lost and alone. But we know that in all of these things, you are with us. And for that, we are humbly grateful. And so this morning, Lord, we remember all of those who have died in the peace of Christ. But also, Lord, those whose faith is known only to you alone. We pray that you will grant us, with them, a share in your eternal kingdom. And finally, Lord, guide our lives as you will. We live out our lives in public scrutiny. So, Lord, help us to reflect Christ in all we do. And in thanksgiving and faith, we commend our prayers to your keeping. And we pray that we may be deemed worthy to enter the joy of your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
I'm going to ask Marg to come up and join us. Now, Rob and Marg have been a part of this place a long time. And I had a really unusual, different request come through the other week. And they've actually, yesterday, they celebrated 56 years together as a married couple. So let's give them a round of applause. And through a quirk of being in the world that's round, we are in the UK. It's still your anniversary up until 10:30 this morning. So why are we here? Why am I talking to you two wonderful people at this present time?
Right, I will tell you why. The reason we are here this morning is I had to have my wedding ring cut from my finger. A stupid reason. And what happened was, I've had it put back together again and felt as though it was broken. But now it's joined together. We both did. Feel that a prayer and a blessing on my ring, that the Lord will continue to bless us in our marriage. So that's why we're here today.
So one of the things I always love asking people who've been married for many years is, well, what's kept you going so long? What is the secret of your success, if you like? You've only got, 10:30's coming, so be quick.
In my usual manner, I was tempted to be flippant, but I'll not. I'll not this morning. I've just put a few words together to try and put our thoughts, really. I think we started this journey together as Jack and Jill. We started in love and we were hopeful for the future together. But like every other couple, we've had our sunny days and we've had our stormy days. And we've had our sad days. Days when it could have been easy just to act as individuals, throw in the towel and walk away. But we're still here. The why is a big question and the answer has many facets, but we like to think that during any stormy periods we talked and then we talked some more. We made time for reflection.
Yes.
And I have to say, often the sorry word was a great healer. Family bonds have been of great support and value, and we had to think of others. They were a cement, if you like. But now, as Darby and Joan, I think we still have that love for each other and we care for each other. The phrase, in sickness and in health. is becoming more and more relevant as the years pass. But I think we are fully committed to this. Another 56 years? Wow, that's not going to happen, is it? But I think in this, we're going to be together till the end. Thank you.
So, would you like to provide the ring? Join with me as we say a prayer of blessing over this ring together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the story of love and life, for the journey that's gone up a hill and down a hill and continues on. This ring we know symbolizes so much more than just being an unending and unbroken circle. We thank you for the love that has brought it to this point. We just ask a special blessing upon it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
So, Margaret, I give you this ring as a sign of our love and the vows that we made 56 years ago.
I pronounce them husband and wife.
Thank you.
Look, God's peace be with you, and thank you very much for sharing this very special moment with us.
Yes, thank you.
And congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you, and thank you for being here to share it with us.
Thank you, everyone.
You can kiss the bride.
Yeah, yes, that's the other one I missed.
I thought you were going to say you can carry it over the threshold.
That would have been a good one too, yes. So, look, let's just gather our thoughts. Lord Jesus, as we think, as we feel, as we know, as we understand, all these different words, we just thank you for love and life. And we thank you that in amongst all our journey, you are with us as a friend, as a Lord, as a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that was beautifully said and shared. And today's theme is Jesus understands our pain. And as I was thinking about this theme and feeling this theme, I thought, you know what? Actually, I don't like the understanding part. I think the know, you know, Jesus knows our pain. For me, that sits a bit better. Because understanding can be a bit sterile, can't it? Look, I understand how physics works. I understand how gravity works. It's not real a lot of emotion or passion in that, is it? I understand how love works. And again, it's just like a little clinical. But I feel how love works, and that sense of shared pain, that sense of knowingness. So we've been walking towards Easter, and we're getting to the point where we're reconnecting and our knowing of the Easter story once again. Now, for many of you, this is not the first Easter you've done; it's one of many. So again, what is this coming Easter? What does that connection mean for you? What is the part of your knowing is what we're trying to reflect on. So when I was at Dernancourt Uniting, early 2000s, we did a 40 days of purpose from Rick Warren. Now, many of you know Rick Warren, and I like a lot of the stuff he says. And one particular line, I mean, some of it I don't, but there's a lot I do. And one of the lines I particularly liked is that we minister from our experiences. Now, when we talk about minister, we're not talking about me. We all minister, you know, that verb of God's love somehow. And what I really liked was we minister from our experiences. So what does that mean? Now, recognizing COVID spacing, would you please turn roughly to the person next to you and talk about some holidays and find out if you can find a similar holiday place or destination you've been to. You need to find a similar destination. If you're a married couple, that should really not be hard. Or if you've been together for a long time. Just talk about destinations for holidays. What are you doing? Where'd you go? What'd you find? What was your favorite? Same for you at home. Get cracking. All right, we could probably keep doing this for a bit longer. People are giving me lots of gifts. Thank you, Leon. So what did it feel like once you had a common connection with a destination? Did that mean that changed the way you engage with that person? Or, like, is there a new conversation you can have during morning tea? I mean, interesting, isn't it? Like, when we find that we have some commonality, it doesn't matter who we are, you know, or what we look like. When there's a point of commonality, it's a bit like going to the footy. You know, if you wear a certain colour, doesn't matter how many tats you got up and down your arm or how much hair you're missing or how beautiful or how intelligent, if you've got the same colour, you've got a commonality, haven't you? And what Rick Warren was really saying is, hey, your experiences of hardship can be a similar sort of thing, where whatever experience you've had, you're not alone. There are others who have either experienced a similar thing or will experience. And so he's really saying that is something that as a Christian, rather than ignore, bury, get rid of, becomes a significant point of connection as you help others journey through life. I thought that was really a powerful thing. It made me stop and think about those things that I'd really struggled with and tried to just get past or get over. You know what I mean? Like people say, oh, well, I'll put that behind me. But actually, sometimes that experience is the thing that is life-giving for someone else. Now, you know, I've done a lot of pastoral care. For my professional development the other year, I did some CPE supervision. So I've got all these skills, but it doesn't make me perfect. You know, when the bushfires happened, they started in 2019, in the December, in the hills. And I remember talking to one of our members at this church, and she was talking about the distress she had because one of her families was up in the hills and their property was burning. And she really did think they were going to die. Now, I have to say, I really didn't understand. So I was head. I didn't understand. And so my engagement with that person was, I have to say, poor. And then, as we know, 2020, the bushfire came along, the bushfire assist, and all the reserves got called out. And having washed my hands of full-time service in the army, suddenly I was back in. And I found myself on KI while the fires were still burning. In fact, this is a picture of where we harboured up in our first night with next to the airfield. And it was just the strip around the airfield. Now, on this very night, the fire changed direction. And so about 10 o'clock at night, we started to get rained on. But it was ash. So we had ash raining down upon us. And we're looking at each other thinking, we could see the glow coming towards us. So obviously, not being the decision-making, I wasn't the commander. I wasn't the brigade commander on the ground. So we had to hang around and just wait for the decision to be made about when we move. And so we can continue. So we were told to jump in vehicles, make sure we had our face masks and that sort of stuff. And it wasn't until 1:30 in the morning that we got the call to move because the fire had kept coming. Now, we ended up piling into the airfield terminal, and that's a small place. And so we're all smelly, smoky individuals just rolled into the airport terminal. There's probably 200 of us. The vehicles were all stacked on the strip, and we just waited. Now, fortunately, there was a real concern about Kingscote because we couldn't move. I think if it fire came in, rolled over the top of us, messy. But fortunately, there was a shift in the direction of the wind, and so both the airfield and Kingscote were spared. Now, I have to say, after that experience, I came back to here, and I sought out that person I was speaking to because I'd gone from understanding to knowing. You know what I mean? Understanding, mental, yeah, okay, that must have been hard to... Knowing the fear about what a fire can do. And just how, if you get rolled over, there's not really many places you can go. And so that was, I think, a real significant understanding and insight and awareness that when we talk about Jesus' journey with us, it's not a cerebral understanding that Jesus has with us. It's a knowing. It's a with us pain. So it's a significant thing when we read this. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now my soul is troubled." Now my soul is troubled. Not celebrated, not excited, not fantastic, yay. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I've come to this hour. And I, when I'm lifted up from earth, will draw all people to myself. You know, whatever understanding Jesus had about his role or his calling, he started to know it at this point. Because there's one thing, you have this understanding, but there's a sense of the knowing. And what we're hearing here is Jesus knowing our human condition. Jesus feeling that trouble, that anxiety, that, my father, just that despair. And as I thought about my own life and the reason the 40 days of Lent, it's good to do some reflection with our Lenten studies, is because often Jesus in the desert was shaped. It was his identity that was shaped. It wasn't just simply one part of his brain, but his whole being. And that's what suffering does to us. That's what hardship does. That's what life does to it. Because to live is to suffer. Some have said, whenever we don't get what we want or whenever we lose control, we're suffering. I'd like to take it a bit further, but that suffering is something that is just a part of human nature. And we, all of us, go through it. I think one of the hardest, saddest parts is often people think they're the only one in the world that's ever gone through a disease or a separation or a death, when in the actual fact there are so many people who have gone through a similar experience. Interestingly enough, I was reading through the Essay Weekender from Saturday. Saturday's paper probably has a little bit more than Sunday's. And if Sandra Tucker was here, I'd be making a special point of pointing her out, because she'd be wearing her teal and black because she's a Port Power supporter. And thank God the Crows won yesterday, because I actually decided not to use them as an example because I expected them to lose. But, sorry, Chris. I'm a man of faith, but I'm not that much faith. But in the yesterday's paper, there was an article from Charlie Dixon, who's a 6'6", tattooed forward. He's a monster of a man. And he was talking about his hardship in the last couple of years and how he broke his leg and he came back from the broken leg and he played poorly and he got dropped and he thought it was the end of his career. And he knew he was in trouble. And his parents were coming down to try and see him and he put him off. He had friends who were trying to come around and see him and he just put him off. He built a wall. And but at some point he just knew he had to talk to someone. And there was one particular guy he talked to by the name of Hugh Van Silenberg, who was a co-founder of the Resilience Project. Now, this guy's aim is to generate gratitude, empathy, and mindfulness. Now, Charlie had to speak to someone, so he went to coffee and caught up with this guy. And here's a quote from that passage. Charlie had lost sight of who he was as a person. Van Silenberg says he became very focused on his identity as a footballer. Thank you. Well done. In front of me. So, yeah, Charlie had lost sight of who he was as a person. His self-worth and his validation was all tied up with himself as a footballer. And the footballer wasn't playing. He was injured. He felt ashamed he wasn't playing, kicking goals, and winning games. Now, how easy would it be for us to insert our name and maybe our context into that? How many times have we done that in life? You know, we identify ourselves with a role or a function and forget that it's actually our identity that is the significant part of our journey. And where this turned around for Charlie was he, on one of their pre-season camps, he stood up in front of the Paul Power boys and said, "I need your help. I cannot do this myself." And the guys and everybody gathered around, and he said, watching a 6'6" guy cry is pretty overwhelming. And there's a sense in which when Jesus knows our pain, there's a sense of that intimacy, a sense of that connection. We're not alone. And that's where, as Jesus as our friend, that you know, kindness, care, not being nasty, someone we can turn to in prayer. I think as Christians, that's the significant part of our journey. Everybody can have resilience. Charlie's not a Christian. He found his purpose renovating cars. As Christians, we find our purpose through faith as well. And I think that's the other part of faith, our faith journey, people miss. It's our additional reserve. It's an additional well. It's an additional place we can go to for life-giving hope in the midst of hardship. This week, you would have just done some study in the Lenten studies on John Wesley and Mother Teresa. Thank you. And so that was a very significant journey as we explored their depths of understanding. And there's another person who comes to mind too. This guy's called Father Damien. I don't know what his last name is. But he was, when Captain Cook landed in Hawaii in 1778, there was over 300,000 inhabitants of Hawaii. 100 years later, when Father Damien went to Hawaii, there was only 60,000 remaining. So 240,000 had died due to the diseases that European settlers and everything else had brought with them. It's staggering, isn't it? But what was more staggering is in 1873, he heard about this island where all the lepers were put. So if you had leprosy, you were just stuck on a ship, stuck on an island, and that was it. No family, no connection, no nothing. One of the bishops asked, he needed a volunteer to go and help minister once a month on this island. Father Damien actually decided, you know what? God's calling me to something more. And the 500 residents had no treatment, no nothing. And this is his quote. "They were repugnant to look at, but they had a soul redeemed at the price of the precious blood of our divine Savior. He too in his divine love consoled lepers. If I cannot heal them as he could, at least I could offer them comfort." Now this guy became the carpenter, magistrate, cook, physician, teacher, gardener, spiritual guide. And you can imagine someone committing that effort would restore their whole sense of culture and community and life. And so for 15 years, he was their heart and soul, I would guess, until eventually he got leprosy. And so you can see his hands are deformed, disfigured. And so this father did more than understand, didn't he? He knew their suffering and pain by being one with them. And I guess really my point is that while not all of us are called to be lepers, what we're called to do is to know or to use our experiences in life to connect with others. And it's not by using our brain, it's by using our compassion. And I think empathy and compassion is what stands us aside, because that's really our core business. Jesus, God so loved the world, not God so understood the world, God so loved the world. And so what I missed with that conversation right at the beginning with that person from our congregation was empathy and compassion. I was trying to understand where I needed to link in with my compassion and empathy. So today, as you journey towards Easter, but more importantly, as you mingle with people in our world, remember it's your heart, your compassion, your empathy, that is the bridge that will enable you to connect with others and maybe be a lifeline in a way that simply understanding will not. Let me finish with this last little side. There's something remarkable about knowing someone else has walked this road and survived. Okay, so take a moment. If you want to talk to the person next to you, what is one thing you're taking away from today? One thing. Turn to the person next to you. Do some thinking. One thing. One thing. I'll ask the band to come up. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the journey we're on, that as we work our way to Easter and celebrate Palm Sunday this coming Sunday, we know that the price you've paid is a one of love. And we just continue to open ourselves to your love in Jesus' name. Amen. It's always good to get some prompts from the floor. I have found a, well, I didn't find a hearing, but there is a hearing aid if you've lost one. Here it is. I've got a memory like a sieve. Someone gave it to me. I clean forgot about it. Thank you, people. So, as I send you out, let me read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. We give out what we receive. Go in peace to do the same. Amen.